Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort. We're going to be hearing details and so forth about the sudden collapse of the Timberwolves sale for a while. 24 hours since we last talked to Jim. I assume there's been kind of some more information coming out. What's the latest?
Boy, just a lot of little stuff, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, the big stuff is obvious, that they disagree on whether they should have been given another extension and that they obviously didn't come up with the money they needed to on the timetable that Glenn Kaler expected. I think we're headed for court. As I said yesterday, I think, you know, Glenn Taylor has made a lot of mistakes running the Timberwolves, but I don't think he lacks the ability to read a contract, and I don't remember him ever lying about something like this publicly. So my guess is that Lauri Rodriguez screwed up in one manner or another, or they had a false sense of security that Taylor would wait around and let them come up with money whenever they wanted. I think it would go to court. My early odds-making on it would be that Taylor will win and hold on to the team. And then the question is, you know, he was really kind of looking, the way he was talking and managing his affairs as recently as a year or two ago was, okay, time for me to settle my affairs, set up my family foundation. I'm going to give the Star Tribune some money because I want it to survive. I'm going to make sure that we have owners coming in to run the Timberwolves who won't move it to Las Vegas or another city. And it felt like he was kind of putting everything in order. I think what's happened in the last year is he's gone, my God, I finally have not only a good team, but a team might be good for 3 or 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. Could even win a championship. I'm going to give it to guys who can't even make the deadlines for payments. No, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to have fun with it. And next time I decide to sell it, I'll sell it to somebody who can come up with the money right away, and it'll be worth $2.5 billion or $3 billion instead of $1.5 billion.
I read the New York Post column that Patrick Royce posted on X, and it sounds like Lauri kind of was waiting on A-Rod to come up with kind of his end of the cash, and he wasn't able to do it. Is that how you read that?
Yes. And Lauri, obviously, you know, we were talking about liquidity yesterday. Lauri obviously is heavily invested in some of his new enterprises and expected A-Rod to come up with some money. I also could see the other thing, the Post, you know, I don't always trust the New York Post, so I'm going to be careful about believing everything they said. But the things that rang true to me were that Lauri expected A-Rod to come up with more money than he did. A-Rod ended up not coming up with that money, and that one of the reasons Lauri liked having A-Rod as a partner is he got to go see J-Lo every once in a while. That all rings very true.
That's,
he's a weird dude.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, and
he's a weird dude, and you cannot trust Alex Rodriguez in any way.
Yeah. No, that's right. And now Glenn Taylor apparently feeling like he's finding that out as well. So in the end, business as usual, meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Yeah, and you know, the good thing about Glenn Taylor, whether you agree or disagree with any decisions he's made or his ability to run a pro basketball franchise historically, he does want the team to stay in Minnesota. He wants the team to stay in Minnesota. He wants to... The owners he brings in, he wants guarantee, at least verbal guarantees, that they're going to keep the team here. Mm-hmm. And right now, Glenn isn't making any basketball decisions. Tim Connelly's running the show. So it's Glenn Taylor's a great owner when he doesn't have to make decisions. And right now, as long as Tim Connelly's here, Tim Connelly's going to make all the decisions.
Glenn Taylor doesn't hire Tim Connelly, though, does he?
Probably not. That feels much more like a Lauri A-Rod thing where they said, let's just go spend a lot of money and get the best person on the market and give him so much money that he can't say no. Mm-hmm. He's Connelly had it all set up in Denver. They were about to win a championship. Mm-hmm. They have Jokic signed. He doesn't want to play anywhere else. They have an excellent coaching staff, great sports market, great atmosphere. So the only way Connelly was going to leave that is if you made him an offer he couldn't refuse. And I think Lauri and Rodriguez were willing to do that. Glenn probably would have looked for somebody he felt comfortable with. Mm-hmm. I think if he had gotten to know Connelly, he probably would have liked him because Connelly's a very, very likable guy, but he probably wouldn't have thought of going and looking at Connelly.
Mm-hmm. And the Timberwolves probably are not where they are with the valuation nearly doubling in value since the sale without Tim Connelly pulling some strings and putting them, you know, near the top of the NBA.
I think that's partly true. Mm-hmm. I think partly a good team is worth more than a bad team, but I also think all NBA franchises are skyrocketing right now.
Sure.
You know, as long as you're putting a decent product on the court and there's some optimism, I mean, franchises are just going to go for $2.5-3 billion right now.
This was an unusual deal, too, wasn't it? I mean, I don't recall another sale of a franchise in pro sports where it took this amount of time, and that the old owners, the new owners are basically co-owning for a period of time. Has this happened before where it's taken this amount of time to pony up the cash?
I'm sure it's happened before, but not that I can remember, and not in any Minnesota deals. Because usually it's a super rich person saying, here's a check, my team. And this was not that. Mm-hmm. I like the Timberwolves people very much, but I know I made them very angry when they had that big press conference with Glenn Taylor and Alex Rodriguez and Mark Laurie up there just acting like they're all, you know, world conquerors or something. I'm like, hold it. Glenn ran the franchise into the ground. A-Rod's a steroid cheat. And Mark Laurie obviously is a successful business person, but he's also talks about building cities in the clouds. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, these are odd people, you know. I never really felt great about this deal.
Yeah, yeah. Twins look good yesterday. Pablo Lopez outside of, unfortunately, Royce Lewis pulling up lame at third base.
Brutal, and we're talking here early afternoon on Friday. We have not gotten word on the tests yet. I don't know if the Twins are going to reveal that today or wait until they're at the ballpark tomorrow. I don't know. It's quad injury. Sounds a lot better than knee injury, mm-hmm. but we just don't know until we hear the results of the test. It's terrible. It's just,
yeah.
I really thought this team was going to be able to produce so much offense they would survive their pitching injuries early in the year and round into a really nice team by midseason. But they got to be somewhat healthy. My God, this is just, they feel so cursed.
Yeah. And then I was thinking, well, okay, we'll get a chance to see Brooks Lee a little bit here. Nope, he's on the injured list in the minor leagues with a back thing going on.
Yep, he's out about 3 or 4 weeks away himself. I don't know who they're going to call up. They can call up Austin Martin for flexibility. They call up Jose Miranda, although they kind of moved Miranda to first base. You know, I'm sure he can play enough third base to get you by. I think Kyle Farmer will probably be the primary third baseman for a while. But it's just bad news. I mean, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about winning and championships, all that stuff, but you also want to see the best players on the field, whatever happens. And Royce Lewis is one of the most entertaining players in Twins history, and he keeps getting hurt, and it's just tragic.
Yeah, 58 games last year. It felt like he had a whole season's worth of production because of 15 home runs in 58 games. So he really obviously had such a huge impact. Pablo Lopez is going to have a big impact for years, too. He looks like the Twins have a real ace.
He is a real ace. Ace in mentality, work ethic, leadership. He's also a great guy. Mm. I mean, you know, the two teams I've been spending, I tend to spend the most time around, Vikings, but everybody does that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the locker rooms I spend the most time in are Wolves and Twins, and we're really lucky. There are a lot of great personalities in town right now. Royce Lewis is right there at the top. Pablo Lopez is tied for first. Correa's great. Buxton's great when he's, you know, healthy and doesn't mind talking. The Wolves people are great to talk to. But Royce is like, what, you know, I'm a professional. I don't really cheer, you know, but I can't help but not want great things for Royce Lewis because he treats everybody in the world so well. He's one of the great players. He's one of the great talents and personalities in Twins history. We just got to see him on the field.
Yeah, and, you know, you can't explain it. I mean, he's doing everything humanly possible to have his body ready to play. And to me, it looked like he changed his mind for a split second as he was coming into second base, whether he was going to go for third. And that little bit of doubt changed his running gait, and boom, there was the quad.
Yep, and it does make me appreciate guys like I watched Kirby Puckett and Paul Molitor play. Never a misstep on the bases.
Yeah.
They never missed time to step. Usually they would chop step going into second or third base if they were rounding. Royce got caught extending and I'm not blaming him, but that is a way to get hurt.
Yep. How big a game is it tonight for the Timberwolves against Denver?
Pretty big.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, and I've talked to a lot of Timberwolves people about this too. Your goal is to get the first seed. First seed has the maximum opportunities for home court advantage, and it's also a great achievement. Of course they're going to first seed. Of course it's a big game. But nobody has any idea who you want to play in the first round. Mm-hmm. They might have a better matchup for the third seed than the first. We just don't know. Mm-hmm. New Orleans and Dallas are just on a surge right now. And right now I think they're the fifth and sixth seed, something like that. So yes, they want to win. It's a big game. Jamal Murray's out. Edwards and Gobert listed as questionable. They usually play when they're listed as questionable. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a big symbolic game to go try to win at Denver. the reality of this kind of season is, you know, we're going to be talking about a lot of big games, whether it's coming down the stretch or in the playoffs.
Which is great. Timberwolves are right in the thick of it, that's for sure. Jim, have a great weekend.
Great, thanks, Todd.
Live at 5 Sports at Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort.